Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 29th of January, 2026, 3rd John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 3 John. 3 John, we have studied the best of the best in Gaius in verses 1 through 8, and now we're studying the worst of the worst in Diotrephes, verses 9 through 11. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Just to remind you that this Sunday is the first Sunday of the month of February, and we will recognize the communion service, the Lord's table. Now, the Lord's table and the is a mandate for every single member of the royal family of God. It's not an option that if you haven't got anything else to do, you go to it. It's a mandate. It isn't something, well, if we got other things that are more important, then you just, it's not a big deal. Well, in God's eyes, it's a very big deal. So he put it in the form of a command. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we have 365 days in a year. I set it up so it's only 12 days out of 365, trying to make it extremely special and give every one of you the opportunity to organize your life, make decisions to organize your life, so that you can be here to have intensified fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's why there's nowhere in the Bible that says how often you should have the communion service. That's up to the pastor of that church. I set it up so it's the first Sunday of each month. So this Sunday, we have the privilege of having intensified fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have an update from the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. The Las Ventanas January 28th report. The Las Ventanas lesson on Wednesday, January 28th, went very well as we began the study of the 23rd Psalm. After the ladies sang Standing on the Promises, we listened to Pastor Olson introduce the study of the 23rd Psalm, describing how David was the greatest king in the history of Israel, and how he suffered under the Absalom revolution. Yet he remained grace-oriented, with humility, with happiness, and with a great love for his Lord Jesus Christ. It was apparent from the reaction by the ladies that they are excited about this study. To God be the glory as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And as always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. Third John. Well, we studied the first eight verses, and there's a believer there, Gaius, that the Apostle John absolutely loved. He's the best of the best. And we study that in the first eight verses. And then in verses 9 through 11, we are studying a believer who's the head of the deacon board in this church. And nobody knows where this church is. It's not stated. But the head of the deacon board is Diotrephes. And he's running the show. He has a tremendous arrogance. And if their communicators, if he can't control any communicator that comes through, or a letter, like a doctrinal letter from the Apostle John, he won't let it be taught. He won't let it be taught. He didn't want anything from the Apostle John to be taught. He couldn't control the Apostle John, but he didn't agree with the Apostle John. And any sound doctrinal teacher that came through, he would not allow them to teach in the church. And as a result of that, what happens as a result of that? There's no spiritual growth. That church is stagnant. It's dying on the vine. And the Apostle John knows that. And in these three verses, he is giving a stern warning to Diotrephes in hopes that he will rebound, get back into fellowship with God, turn around, and have some positive volition and humility, respect for spiritual authority. He has no respect for spiritual authority. He's very impressed with himself. He has a lot of human abilities and human talents, and he's a human genius, and he has a nice personality. But he's destroying the local church. And that's verses 9 through 11. We have exegeted verse 9 and most of the way through verse 10, and it sounds like this. I have written something, a doctrinal letter, this is the Apostle John has written, to the church, the local church. But Diotrephes, the one who loves to be first in authority among them, the congregation of the church, does not accept our authority. does not accept what the Apostle John teaches or any sound pastor, teacher, doctrinal teacher teaches. Verse 10. For this reason, if I come, and this is a third class condition, maybe I will come, maybe I won't. What does that mean? Well, when we get to verse 12, we're going to see another individual. He has the gift of pastor teacher. He's Demetrius. Demetrius has grown up in the Apostle John's church, and probably at this time, the greatest church at this time in the ancient world, it was in Ephesus, and the Apostle John was the communicator in this church. Great, great church. And there was a young man, Demetrius, who had the gift of pastor teacher, and he was trained in the grace and truth of the teaching of the Apostle John. Demetrius, the Apostle John, loves Demetrius. And he knows that Demetrius will be a great pastor in a local church. And so first of all, he's going to send Demetrius to this church. And with the spiritual, this is a problem that demands spiritual authority. It will only be solved with spiritual authority. So the Apostle John will first of all send pastor teacher Demetrius. And see if Demetrius can solve this problem. If that fails, then the Apostle John will show up. And he will use his spiritual authority and he will straighten out this problem. That's what is meant here by this third class condition. So for this reason, if I come, third class condition, maybe I will come, maybe I won't. But if I do come, I will call attention to his deed, Diotrephes' deed, which he is doing, specifically slandering and maligning us with evil words. That's the Apostle John and any sound doctrinal teacher. Slandering and maligning us with evil words. And because he is not satisfied. Now that's a very powerful phrase. Because he is not satisfied, he is living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, and he has the arrogance of unhappiness. He's living in interlocking systems of arrogance. There are 26 gates, but this illustrates this phrase, the arrogance of unhappiness. And because he is not satisfied with these things, neither does he himself welcome or recognize the spiritual authority of these brethren. These brethren are communicators of the Word of God, like pastors, missionaries, and evangelists. And he prevents and forbids those are the believers in his local church, he forbids those believers in the church who desire to do so. And that's as far as we have gotten in verse 10. So Diotrephes has manifested three very serious spiritual failures. Spiritual failure number one, he has no humility, and that's the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. If you don't have the foundational virtue of humility, enforced humility, becoming genuine humility, you will never, ever have the other virtues of the spiritual life. Spiritual failure number two, he has no authority orientation. He has no respect for spiritual authority, no respect for the spiritual authority of the Apostle John, no respect for the spiritual authority of any sound doctrinal teacher. And spiritual failure number three, he has maximum arrogance. And we're going to see the arrogance of unhappiness. Diotrephes is slandering and maligning the Apostle John, as well as any sound doctrinal pastor that he cannot control. He has no respect for the spiritual authority of the Apostle John, no respect for the spiritual authority of any sound doctrinal teacher. Diotrephes is guilty of the worst sins that God hates, that are an abomination to God, and that is sins of the tongue, judging, slandering, maligning. The believer guilty of slandering, maligning, judging is a visible loser in the spiritual life. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12 says, to sum it all up, let us all believers, live in harmony. Love the royal family of God with impersonal love for all. Be compassionate and humble, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but blessing, because to this you were called, that you might inherit blessing. For whoever would love long life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, sins of the tongue, judging, slandering, maligning, and his lips from speaking deceit. And let him turn away from evil, sins of the tongue, and produce divine good. Let him seek prosperity and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the grace righteous, the spiritually mature believer, and his ears listen to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, which in this passage, sins of the tongue, judging, slandering, maligning. Now we continue and exegete the last part of verse 10. Diotrephes is not finished yet with his evil function. And he casteth them out of the church. This is the conjunction chi plus the present active indicative of ekbalo, plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular of ekklesia. Chi is a connective chi, and you translate that and. And then we have the verb ekbalo. Ekbalo. E-K-B-A-L-L-long-O. Ekbalo. A couple of things. This word literally, ekbalo, means to drive out. To drive out, to expel, to forcibly throw out. Drive out, to expel, to forcibly throw out. Two. Specifically, it is used in our verse to expel someone from a group, to expel someone from a group, to excommunicate, to throw someone out of the local church. That's what Diotrephes is doing. Three, Diotrephes is throwing these believers, tais ekklesias, ek out of the tais ekklesia, the local church. So, corrected translation, and he expels them from the church. He is throwing them out of the church. So, the corrected translation of verse 10, now in its entirety, sounds like this. For this reason, if I come, third class condition, maybe I will come and maybe I won't. I will call attention to his deed, which he is doing, slandering, maligning, judging us with evil words. And because he is not satisfied, the arrogance of unhappiness, because he's not satisfied with these things, neither does he himself welcome or recognize the spiritual authority of these brethren, sound communicators of the Word of God, pastors, missionaries, evangelists, and he prevents and forbids those believers in his own church who desire to do so. And then he expels them, throws them out of the church, the local church. Okay, well, he has got a few problems here. One, Diotrephes is not a dummy. He has a very high human IQ. He thinks he's smarter than everybody else. Smarter than the Apostle John. Smarter than any sound doctrinal teacher. He has a very high human IQ. That doesn't mean a diddle in the plan of God. In God's eyes, that doesn't mean a thing. Two, he has great human ability and talent. And a great personality. He has great human ability and talent and a great personality. Three, however, whatever human abilities and talents a believer may possess in this life, whatever human abilities and talents a believer may possess in this life, it is completely neutralized by involvement in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Satan is a genius. And there's all these people thinking, you know, they'll say, oh, the devil's after me. No, he's not after you. He's just laughing at you. He invented a system, a cosmic system, and you're living in it, and he just sits back and laughs at you as you destroy yourself. He isn't chasing you. The devil's not after you. He's laughing at you. Laughing at you as you destroy yourself. He isn't after you with a pitchfork. In red underwear. By the way, he's the greatest creature to ever come from the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he walked in here now, any of you who are single would say, my right man. Hubba, hubba, hubba. What a hunk. He's not out there with pitchfork, red underwear, and he's not trying after you, chasing you to kill you. He just invented this system, and he's just sitting back laughing and watching believers destroy themselves by their own bad decisions. Living in his cosmic system. So point three, however, whatever human abilities and talents a believer may possess in this life, it's completely neutralized by involvement in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Four, authority arrogance has destroyed Diotrephes as an administrative leader. Authority arrogance has destroyed Diotrephes as an administrative leader. And right now, he is the chairman of the board of deacons in this local church. Now, the Apostle John is going to come, and he hopes that in writing this letter, of course, this letter was sent to Gaius because Diotrephes would never even allow this to be taught. So it was sent to Gaius. But if Diotrephes doesn't turn around, then John will throw Diotrephes out, and he will appoint Gaius as the head of the deacon board. And he is be the best of the best in that position. So authority arrogance has destroyed Diotrephes as an administrative leader, currently the chairman of the board of deacons in the local church. 5, the Apostle John is giving Diotrephes a strict warning. He's giving Diotrephes a strict warning. Six, if Diotrephes persists in rejecting the authority of the Apostle John, he will not only be reprimanded in front of the entire congregation, but he will be removed as well. If Diotrephes persists in rejecting the authority of the Apostle John, he will not only be reprimanded in front of the entire congregation, but he will be removed as well. 7, he will be stripped of his office, and Gaius will replace him. He will be stripped of his office, and Gaius will replace him. Now, you might say, well, that sounds awful severe, that this very severe discipline. It's absolutely necessary in hope that it will bring Diotrephes back to the foundational virtue of the spiritual life, which is humility. He has no humility. And the Apostle John, this is absolutely necessary that it might bring Diotrephes back to the foundational virtue of the spiritual life, humility. 8, you have to have genuine humility if you are ever going to fulfill your spiritual gift as unto the Lord. You have to have genuine humility if you are ever going to fulfill your spiritual gift as unto the Lord. Nine, therefore, this verse not only emphasizes that Diotrephes has rejected the spiritual authority of the Apostle John, but in the absence of a pastor, he has refused to recognize the spiritual authority of any sound doctrinal pastor that's been coming through. He refuses to allow any sound doctrinal pastor to teach the Word of God. They have to agree with him. If he can't control them and what taught, then they're not going to teach at all. 11, because of Diotrephes and his authority arrogance, it is impossible for this congregation to receive any sound doctrinal teaching. Because of Diotrephes and his authority arrogance, it is impossible for this congregation to receive any sound doctrinal teaching. And that means no spiritual growth. And that means the local church is stagnant. So 3 John verses 9 and 10 again. I have written something, a doctrinal letter to the church, but Diotrephes, the one who loves to be first in authority among them, the congregation, does not accept our authority, what we say or teach, the Apostle John or any sound pastor. For this reason, if I come, third class condition, maybe I will come, maybe I won't, I will call attention to his deeds which he is doing, specifically slandering, maligning, judging us with evil words. And because he's not satisfied with these things, the arrogance of unhappiness, neither does he himself welcome or recognize the spiritual authority of these brethren, other communicators of the Word of God, pastors, missionaries, and evangelists. And he prevents and forbids those believers in his own church who desire to do so. And then he throws those believers out of the church. Okay, those involved in authority, arrogance, and sins of the tongue, judging, slandering, maligning others, they are very unhappy people. Even though they have their way constantly, they are very unhappy. When you live your life in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, you will be a very unhappy person. This is the arrogance of unhappiness. And Diotrephes is suffering from the arrogance of unhappiness. So we need to take a look at the arrogance of unhappiness. One, subjective preoccupation with self. Preoccupation with self destroys any capacity for happiness. Subjective preoccupation with self destroys any capacity for happiness. Two, living your life in Satan's cosmic system, cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance, not only guarantees unhappiness, that you will be unhappy, but it also develops false ideas about what constitutes true happiness. It also develops false ideas about what constitutes true happiness. Now I want to give you three principles that are important. This is not point 3, 4, and 5. These are three principles. We just had point 2, and point 3 will be after the three principles. All right. First principle, God is the one who has the monopoly on true happiness. True happiness. And we have presented true happiness as plus H. Plus H. This is sharing the happiness of God. This is self-contained happiness that the winner believer has in, with him 24/7. Everywhere he goes, self-contained happiness. No matter what's going on in the world, and there's so much evil going on in the world, no matter what's going on in America, and there is very much evil going on in America, no matter what's going on in Nevada or Las Vegas or in your job, family, no matter what's going on, you can have self-contained happiness 24/7. Everywhere you go, everything you do. God is the one who has the monopoly on plus H, true happiness. Second principle, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill results in true happiness. Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills results in true happiness. Third principle, God is the key to true happiness, plus H. Spiritual skill number one is the filling of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, virtue, love, and joy, happiness, true happiness. The fruit of the Spirit is true happiness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. So spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit, produces true happiness, plus H. Galatians 5:22. Spiritual skill number two, maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart produces true happiness. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart produces true happiness. Proverbs 3, verse 13 says, happinesses to the man. Happinesses is plus H. Happinesses to the man who finds wisdom. Oh, there's the key word right there. Wisdom. The Hebrew word is chokmah, C-H-O-K-M-A-H, chokmah. And chokmah is the Hebrew word for wisdom. It's the Greek equivalent is sophia. Whether it's chokmah or sophia, it's the word of God that you not only assemble here and hear, but it's the word of God that you believe. Now, it doesn't do any good to come here and hear the teaching of the Word and not believe it. You might as well go to another church. And I've started several churches in Las Vegas. I got churches started all over this city. I wouldn't go to any of them, but I've started them. I'm going to go to this one. And go to another church. It doesn't do you any good to come here and hear the teaching of the Word of God and then you say, oh, Pastor Olson, I understand what you're saying, Pastor Olson. Pastor Olson, I don't believe what you're saying, Pastor Olson. Okay, well then fine. Go find one of these other, you know what? They will meet you with open arms and tell you what a great believer you are and just blow smoke up your ass and all kinds of stuff like that. Tell you ever how great you are. What? Then go over there. It doesn't do you any good to... You see, there went the dignity of the clergy. You see. The dignity of the clergy doesn't stick around here very long, but I don't... And by the way, that's not profanity to say smoke up your ass. It's not profanity to say damn or hell. Those things communicate. God uses those words too. Miaino in the Bible. God uses miaino. You know what that is? Well, if you don't know, come back and I'll tell you. That communicates. But it's only when you believe what is taught. I'm here to communicate, and I do my darndest. Notice I didn't say damnedest. I do my darndest to study and find out what God the Holy Spirit in His inspiration ministry, what He put here, so I can communicate to you exactly what God wants you to know about these passages. Exactly. And that's why I went to seminary, and that's why I majored in Hebrew and minored in Greek. And I do all my studying from that. I just want to make sure I'm communicating to you what God the Holy Spirit put down here. And here we have chokma, wisdom, equal to Sophia, the Greek word. It's the word of God you've not only listened to and learned, but the word of God that you believe. When you believe it, it goes into your heart. That's metabolized doctrine in the heart. Now, once it's there in the heart, then through the filling of the Holy Spirit, you can apply it skillfully and accurately to your own life. That's wisdom. Applying the Word of God skillfully and accurately to your own life. God is the key to happiness. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit produces happiness. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, joy, happiness. Spiritual skill number two, maximum metabolized doctrine of the heart, Proverbs 3:13. Happiness is to the man who finds wisdom, metabolized doctrine in his heart, the man who gains understanding. Now, point three. The myth of arrogance is that people will make you happy, or pleasant circumstances will make you happy. Just that we're having a hard time finding pleasant circumstances today. Or that the details of life will make you happy. Or that money will make you happy. Those are all the myths of arrogance. Four, arrogant people are unhappy people. Because life in Satan's cosmic system, you living your life in Satan's cosmic system, cannot produce happiness. Arrogant people are unhappy people because living in Satan's cosmic system cannot result in happiness. Five. Arrogant people are unhappy people. Arrogant people are unhappy people because life in Satan's cosmic system cannot produce happiness. Five, there are two results from living in Satan's cosmic system. Two results from living in Satan's cosmic system. First result, a guarantee of misery and unhappiness, which you make for yourself. A guarantee of misery and unhappiness which you make for yourself. To which the Lord then adds divine discipline. So there are two results from living in Satan's cosmic system. The first one is a guarantee of misery and unhappiness which you make for yourself. And then on top of that, the Lord adds divine discipline. The second result is the erroneous ideas as to what constitutes true happiness in life. Erroneous ideas as to what constitutes true happiness in life. And those erroneous ideas result in personal disaster. Those erroneous ideas result in personal disaster. No matter what you achieve in life, arrogance destroys your capacity to appreciate it. No matter what you achieve in life, arrogance destroys your capacity to appreciate it. Diotrephes has great human abilities and talents, but he has no capacity to appreciate what he has accomplished. Arrogance destroys your capacity for happiness. Arrogance destroys your capacity for life. Arrogance destroys your capacity for love. Six, Satan himself administers the arrogance of unhappiness to any believer who lives his life in the cosmic system. Satan himself administers the arrogance of unhappiness to any believer who lives his life in the cosmic system. So let's amplify that a little bit. Subpoint one. Satan, as the ruler of this world, has a system for distracting believers by making them think that stimulation is happiness. Satan, as the ruler of this world, has a system of distracting believers by making them think that stimulation is happiness. Two, Satan has perpetuated a myth on the human race, which is that people can make you happy, that pleasant circumstances can make you happy, that moments of stimulation can make you happy. Satan has perpetuated a myth on the human race, which is that people, pleasant circumstances, or moments of stimulation can make you happy. Three, arrogant preoccupation with self is a guarantee of unhappiness. That's Diotrephes. Arrogant preoccupation with self is a guarantee of unhappiness. So Satan doesn't need to chase you, running around saying, "The devil's after me, the devil's after me." Satan's system of control is related to the genius of his cosmic system that he invented. And then he simply watches and laughs as you destroy your own life. He doesn't have to do anything. He's not after you and not chasing you. He just lets you destroy your own life by your own bad decisions. Four, the believer uses his own volition to live in Satan's cosmic system. The believer uses his own volition to live in Satan's cosmic system. And he is deluded and distracted and deceived by false concepts of happiness in the cosmic system. The believer uses his own volition to live in Satan's cosmic system, and he is deluded and distracted and deceived by false concepts of happiness living in Satan's cosmic system. Arrogant preoccupation with self by living in the cosmic system guarantees that you will experience the arrogance of unhappiness. 5. Arrogance is developed from negative volition to Bible doctrine, and it destroys the potential for happiness because it destroys capacity for life, for love, for happiness. Arrogance is developed from negative volition to the Word of God, and it destroys the potential for happiness because it destroys capacity for life, love, and happiness. Capacity for happiness must precede true happiness in your life. Capacity for happiness must precede true happiness in your life. In the cosmic system, divine happiness cannot exist, because in the cosmic system, there's no filling of the Spirit, and in the cosmic system, there's no absolute truth of the Word of God. Point 7. The so-called free spirit recognizes freedom without any sense of responsibility. The so-called free spirit recognizes freedom without any sense of responsibility. And that results in unhappiness. Now let's amplify that. This is a very important principle. The so-called free spirit recognizes freedom without any sense of responsibility, and that results in unhappiness. Amplify that. Subpoint 1. The free spirit believer is a totally self-indulgent person living in Satan's cosmic system. The free spirit believer is a totally self-indulgent person living in Satan's cosmic system. The more he seeks true happiness, the more true happiness eludes him. Subpoint 2. You're not going to have true happiness because you're free to do whatever you want to do. You will never have true happiness simply because you are free to do whatever you want to do. That's one of Satan's great myths that he has in his cosmic system. And if you fall into the free spirit syndrome, you will make yourself miserable all of your life. You will make yourself miserable all of your life. Subpoint 3. You can be free to indulge yourself in every whim of life, but when you do so, you make yourself frustrated and miserable, and your misery is then intensified when God adds divine discipline. You can be free to indulge yourself in every whim of life, but when you do so, you make yourself frustrated and miserable, And your misery is then intensified when God adds divine discipline. 4. The free spirit associates happiness with every form of stimulation, excitement, and pleasant environment. The free spirit associates true happiness with every form of stimulation, excitement, and pleasant environment. Like, instead of going to Bible class, let's go watch a basketball game. Yeah! But be careful, rebels aren't doing too well. Or, instead of being in Bible class, let's go watch a football game. Let's watch the Olympics, that's coming on. And by the way, I love good basketball. I love good football. But it never distracts me from being here. Never distracts me from being back here and studying day after day after day after day. Well, I record it. I record it, and then I ask Deb, how did our team do? They lost. Then I delete it. So I record it, and then I delete it. If they win, I'll watch parts of it. But it never distracts me from what God put me here to do. Do you love me, Peter? Then feed my sheep. And I love the Lord. I love God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I'm here to keep on keeping on, studying and teaching, studying and teaching, studying. I'm here every night for class. Most of you are not here every night for class. I'm an old fart. Everything falling apart. My knees, I can't even walk. But I'm here every night. And nothing distracts me. Nothing is more important than studying and teaching, studying and teaching, studying and teaching. Nothing is more important for me. For many people in here, anything is more important. Well, you're free to do whatever you want. You're free to be here or not be here. You're free to find another church where the people there, they have the same thinking that you think on these things, but not me. The Word of God has been placed above our Lord Jesus Christ. It's greater than the air that you breathe. So free spirit associates happiness with every form of stimulation, excitement, pleasant environment. In the arrogance of unhappiness, the believer associates happiness, true happiness, with money. Oh, that'll make me happy. Money. Success, fame, pleasure, social life, great health, sex, alcohol. Oh, that'll make me happy. Alcohol, drugs, romance, friendship, marriage. Get married, I'll live happily ever after. Well, most people today, they get married, they don't live happily ever after. Marriage is a problem-solving device. And if you're a loser, as in single status, and then you get married, you're not going to live happily ever after. You're going to be a loser in marriage. Five, Most people, whether they are aware of it or not, build their life around pleasure goals. 2 Timothy 3:4, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that is so many Christians today in America. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. All right, that's the first 7 points on the arrogance of unhappiness. We'll stop there and pick it up next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.